Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
Shout of praise. As I was just there worshiping, the Lord took me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, and this kept resonating in my heart. And it says this in the Holman Christian, make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up causing trouble, and by it defiling many. I think it's when we've lost the understanding of what grace is that we can allow grace to become something that becomes tainted. When we turn grace into something like a free pass to behave however you want to, that tainted grace. But when we also turn grace into this legalistic law that says because you've received the grace of God, you have to behave a certain way or else you won't walk in the grace of God, that also tainted the grace of God. See, the grace of God is not just the unmerited favor. Can we all agree that none of us merited the favor of God? So we have to drop this lie from saying that some merited it and some didn't. When we were born in this planet, none of us merited it. But here's the thing. The Father himself said before the foundations of the earth that he would send his Son. And actually, he crucified his Son before the foundations of the earth so that many would come to him meriting his favor. See, the Lord says, I will be gracious on whom I will be gracious to. It says it doesn't matter what the condition of man is. It doesn't matter what the belief system of man is. And if you think God, who's the righteous king, the righteous ruler, the righteous judge, and he alone determines what grace is poured out. And when he pours out grace to you, it is actually the empowering agent of God for you to be transformed into who he called you to be. If you're born again, say, I am. Before you were born again, the Holy Spirit was pulling on your heart, saying, come back to the Father and discover who you were made to be. That was the grace of God pulling on your heart. And when you received that grace gave you the ability to become born again in that moment. You had a choice. You had the ability to step into grace or the ability to walk away from grace. But the point is God empowered you to step into it. In the day and age that we live in, there's a lot of debate that's going on in the land. Right? Unrighteousness is ruling in so many different places, whether it's in government, whether it's in the school system, whether it's the definition of sex, the definition of gender, the definition of marriage, all those still there to actually bring a redemption to it. And this verse says, make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God. Otherwise, a root of bitterness will rise up inside of you that defiles you, and it will defile many through you. And so I felt like the Lord says this, it's time to come back to this place where we really understand what it means to receive the grace of God. Where we really understand the love of Jesus. He says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. By his stripes, we were walking through the streets yesterday, had the honor of actually walking with the group in the parade to carry the flag, this giant 40-foot flag. And as I'm holding onto this corner, I see this great red and white, red and white, red and white stripes. And many in this nation, that's just a sign of freedom, missing the point of what Betsy Ross and the others do. It says, by his stripes, we are healed. This nation was founded nation on the earth that can understand this. I will find a people who will understand how to receive my grace so that by the grace they receive, many will actually be graced with it. And I kept hearing the Lord say, it's time to return back to your first love. What was that first love? The moment you receive grace. If you're born again, say, I am. You've already received grace once. You've already received the empowering agent of God to be born again. But I hear the Lord say this, stop living in the born again moment. Listen to this. Stop living in a moment that you were born again and start living born again. So many of us, we have this testimony that says, when I was 16, I heard the audible voice of God, and it called to me, and in that moment, I was born again. But it would be foolishness of me to live today at 43 as a 16-year-old who's hearing that voice. Empower me day by day by day by day. The same grace that saved me, the same grace I live by. And I think that we've forgotten what that great grace is. We want to talk about freedom. We need to learn what it means to be set free into the grace of God. Not this hyper grace that says you can behave however you want to without consequence. That's not grace. That's actually the law of death. That's the law of rebellion. But if you really want to step into who God made you to be, where you're not having to perform for God, you don't have this great pressure, I've got to do these things for God. Instead, if you get to live from the gracious pleasure of the Father that looks at you and says, you are my child and I'm well pleased with you, whether you do a single thing, but while you're at it, I created you for good works. I created you to display the goodness of my heart to the nations. As we were walking through, worshiping God in the center of our city, declaring the goodness of the Lord in our city, in that same spot, I hear somebody cry out, looks like you're carrying the funeral pyre of this nation. And I looked at him and I said, you're a fool. Something just rose up inside of me. This is not the death of a nation. Hear this. This is the rebirth. Yes. 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 Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot be reborn. What you're seeing right now has been the shaking of a nation, the shaking of the nations, the shaking of the systems of society, because the king is tired of watching the earth not reflect his glory, and he's been shaking it by the sound of his voice, and he's looking to you and he's saying, will you shake the earth with me? We are to be the tangible representation of the glory of God that shakes the earth, shakes the gates of hell, so that the kingdom of God could be established in every segment of society. And let me say this, through the last election cycle and for 4 years of a president, we look to a political solution to rebirth a nation. We look to a man to rebirth our hope, but we were looking to the wrong man. And I love President Trump. I prayed for him and I believed everything that God did mighty things. But I'm going to tell you, he was not the hope of this nation. Jesus is. And let me tell you what, the current political structure is not the detriment of our society. It's only the fruit of the shaking that's been taking place. So every hidden thing that's been going on for a long time has now been brought to the surface. So the Lord says, now I can come through and I can purify my bride, and I'm just going to take the dross that's all these systems and I'm going to begin to wipe it up and I'm going to toss it to the side. So what's left is a purified nation, a purified people, a purified society. Because when Jesus is coming back, he's coming back for a purified bride. Are you okay? Let's recognize what the 4th of July is all about. Yes, it's celebrating freedom and 244 years of living under a constitution that no other nation has ever attempted to do. But it goes so much further than that. If we stop at our constitution, we will always fall short of what God had for this nation. It was always to be a beacon of grace to the nations, to draw them to the cross. So I want you to bow your heads right now. We're going to continue to worship. But right now, I just want to come and that no root of bitterness springs up inside of you, causing you trouble, and by it defiling many. If we're going to step forward in grace, we have to remove the root of bitterness. Because at the root of bitterness is an orphan spirit. To be disappointed in God is to not recognize who he is as a good father. So right now, I just want you to examine your heart, and I want you to ask, Holy Spirit, have I fallen short of the grace? Not because of behavior. This is not backsliding. This is not about losing your salvation. This is about living less than the full grace of God. Have I fallen short of the grace of God that brings me life? Have I allowed a root of bitterness to rise up in its place? Have I allowed the political turmoil so I've become skeptical of your ability, Lord? Have I allowed a root of bitterness in my marriage to cause me to lose hope of restoration and wholeness? Have I allowed a root of bitterness from an illness call me and cause me to lose hope in Jehovah Rapha, the healer? Come on, time to deal with your heart now. I just see it as you're looking at this root. Prophetically, just reach out and pluck that root and throw it into the fire. Now the beauty is, as we've dealt with disappointment, now grace can fill the place that bitterness once filled. And when grace comes in, the root of grace is greater to reproduce itself. So right where you're at right now, I just declare, I just feel him say to count it down so you have a spirit of expectancy in your heart that all of a sudden you're going to have an infusion of grace. An infusion of grace. Down to your bone marrow, you're going to have an infusion of grace. I just see a needle going into the bone marrow. Except for this time, it's not withdrawing something. It's injecting. It's infusing you with grace. The grace to become. The grace to love. The grace to be transformed now in the name of Jesus. One, two, three. I release grace. In Christ Jesus, I release the grace to be a son or to be a daughter. I release grace to live from pleasure, not pressure. I release grace for marriages to be one in Christ Jesus. Shut. I release grace for families to be restored. I release grace to be fruitful and to multiply the grace of God. I release grace over addiction. Never again will addiction pull your heart away from Him. You've been dealing with it as a physical issue, and it was really a heart issue, where now your heart is His. And he's releasing a spirit of grace to where you could not do anything to pull yourself away from him. Nothing else will satisfy again. I just say it right now in the name of Jesus. Those who have been dealing with addiction, I don't care if it's drugs, alcohol, sex, money, performance, right now is being released over you the grace where nothing else will satisfy other than his love for you. You have no need for anything else to bring comfort. You have no need for anything else to numb pain. Because in Him, the joy of the Lord releases strength. I just feel one more thing, an invitation as you're standing there. I asked you the question, if you're born again, many of you said yes. But I want to give the invitation to somebody in his place, whether you're watching online, I love you, or you're in this place present. But if you've never been born again, The grace of God is in this room to be born again. There's also another group. Maybe you have been with him. You knew him at a time in your life, but it's been years since you actually walked with him. And it's kind of been a shame thing that's kept you away. But there's a grace that's being released to you saying, come home. Come home. In your Father's house is plenty of room. In your Father's house is the restoration of identity as a beloved son or a beloved daughter. If that's you right now, on the count of three, I just want you to raise your hand. Either you're going to give your life to Christ for the first time or you're going to come back home. Count of three. One, two, three. Come on, I see you. Yeah. The Lord says you're his. The Lord says you are his. All shame, all guilt, all condemnation, all pressure to perform is pushed by the wayside. Instead, you've received the grace of God to live born again. So Jesus, have your way in this place as we continue to worship you, Lord God. We just want to approach the throne. We want to approach this place that we're freely able to worship you. We're freely able to receive from you every good thing. If every good gift comes from the Father above, then I want all the gifts, God. I want everything that you have for me. I want everything you have for my family. I want everything that you have for this church family and for the body of Christ, God. You don't withhold any good thing. So we come rushing into your arms right now in the name of Jesus. And set our hearts on fire now. Set our hearts on fire for passionate love for your name to release us and to release holiness onto the earth as it is in heaven. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I just want to say something real quick. Because there's no fear on this thing. When you raised your hand, so did your son. There's something about when a father gives his heart that his household is saved. It doesn't happen in many other ways. I'm just telling you right now, I just declare because of that step of faith of saying, yes, that's me, and move the needle of the heart of your son. And I just declare over you right now that you will see an acceleration of the blessings of God's family line that were called to represent the Lord in powerful ways and positions of authority. Some did it. Some laid the mantle aside. But I just heard the Lord say in your line, in your generation today, when you said yes, the Lord's saying, now there's a man that I can restore a mantle of leadership to. And it's going to be generational in nature. It's going to be generational in nature. You will see your great-grandchildren walk in the fullness. Yeah. So let's just lift up our hearts to him right now. Jesus, we love you. We worship you. Lord, as we turn back in this place of worship, Lord God, have your way in Jesus' name. So much of the message has already been preached and received when God was doing things during worship. But I'm going to spend a few minutes. We're going to share some stuff with you. Before I do that, my beautiful bride has a word that she's going to release. But during worship, the Lord began to impress on my heart this vision. And what this vision was when Lazarus was coming out of the tomb. And Jesus says, you know, take off the grave clothes, you know, free him from these bonds of death. But what I saw was, as they begin to unwrap it, it was actually the face of a woman. And I heard the Lord say this specifically, not just men and women rising up into who they're called. Certainly, there's been this freedom that's been brought up where women in God are beginning to step into their place of prominence on the earth and the planet, side by side in what the Lord's doing. But I specifically heard it was the church itself, which has been in death clothes for a while. Okay? And the Jesus is saying, speak to my church and call her forth to arise and to shine. And these death clothes are coming off. And specifically, there's those who have been mourning for a season, and you've got mourning clothes. And so part of it was both the death clothes and also the mourning clothes. And he says, it's time to unwrap everything. To be undone by his love, it means that we fully come into who he's wanted us to be. And so I also believe that this is we love to empower women, not because it's like, hey, look at the little women and look what they can do. And it's like the big boys club, but we allow the women to play with us. It's like, no. You don't understand this. This is Adam and Eve who walked in the fullness of the Lord before the fall, side by side. The fullness of God was seen through the one flesh. Understand this? And so my wife, you don't often hear her speak. When she does, it's powerful because she's got a powerful prophetic anointing. She's also got an assignment to destroy the works of the devil and what she does. And so I just felt like this morning that the Lord had a word for her from her to give to you guys. So Kelly, why don't you go ahead and come up. Why don't you welcome her up?
Thank you. Okay, so Jay and I were talking, and a lot of times, you know, those of you who are married, you know how it is. You get a word, you share it with your spouse as a check. It's a built-in check. And so I was sharing this with Jay on Friday, and he says, this is one you have to share with the church. The reason I think this is a good word for the church is because this is a regional word, and it has to do with the area we live in and the time we live in. So this county that we live in is called Comal, and when I was praying, the Lord showed me a picture of a comal, which is a frying pan, right? We live in the frying pan of Texas, and if you didn't know that, so you go outside and you feel it, so you're probably pretty much aware of that, but you know, what the Lord showed me is what we have here in our natural area here is there's heat that comes from above, and the waters come up from under the ground. In the underground caverns, if you guys are familiar, we have aquifers, we have springs that come up and bring the water up from under the ground here. And what happens in a comal is the heat, some things rise and some things are brought down, right? And that's what happens here, right? In our area, right? But the Lord's flipping it, right? We're on the edge of Comal and Guadalupe where the waters come up out of the ground, right? And the Lord's flipping it, and he's saying, now it's the time where look up, and he wants to rain down graces on your face, right? It's not buried under the ground anymore. He has it. Just look up to him, and he's going to rain down graces on your face, and there's fire on the ground, okay? So walk into what he has for you to walk into. This is for the people who live here. If you're even visiting this region, people pray this into people passing by the region, people visiting our area, because this is for them too. Okay, so I want to encourage you guys to walk into that. If he has you in what feels like a fire right now, okay, God, what are you doing? Are you purifying? What do you want to rise up in me? What needs to come down? Okay, and Lord, I'm going to lift my face to you and get the feet on fire. Okay, so let me pray and release it. So Jesus, I pray that everyone who encounters this word, everyone who comes, even visits this region, God, even those flying over it in an airplane, Jesus, that they will encounter your grace. God, that your work will be complete in them. And that they will receive what is on the ground here, what has been prayed into the ground will be released into them. And that they will receive not just rest, not just renewal here, but they'll be strengthened. They'll be purified. God, what you want to rise up in us, help it to rise up. What needs to come out of our life, what needs to be burned away and purified, remove it from us, God. Lord, help us to lift our eyes to you and stand in your grace. Let us receive the rain of your grace on us, and let us get every drop that you have for us. Let us not miss one single blessing. Father, where there is fire on the ground, help us to step where you want us to step and go where you want us to go.
Now, don't let that word drop to the ground. You get a word, you got to embrace it, and you got to run with it. I want to read to you real quick. Georgian Banoff, we connected with him a few years ago, and you know, we communicate on semi-often basis. The Mariana and Zoro are their spiritual children from Bulgaria. And so I really love Georgian. He has a grace for joy. But he sent an email, and it goes out to this whole his whole group, but I just want to read this because I felt like it was talking about America and something you need to hear. So he says, "Hello, I'm so thankful to be a citizen of this country that has given me so much. Decades ago, I risked my life by escaping through the Iron Curtain. Landing in Vienna, I was given only 6 months to find asylum, and after going from embassy to embassy, only to be turned down by everyone, I was growing disheartened. Under the communists, I grew up believing that America was the most evil place on earth." Sound kind of familiar? Why is that being pushed out? Okay. "And that Americans were my worst enemies, yet the U.S. Embassy was the only one that finally opened its doors to me. I'll never forget that day as I stood in front of the American consulate pleading my case when a diplomat said this, 'Welcome to America. You risked your life for freedom, and that is what America is built on.' Tears filled my eyes, and in that moment, my fears were melted by this warm and sincere welcome. Starting life in a brand new country did not complete my escape. However, it was not until the Lord used American believers to befriend me, which led me to encounter with Jesus. In Him, I finally found the freedom, the peace, and the joy that I had been yearning for my whole life. Independence Day is a very special day for me. It reminds me to never take my American citizenship lightly, but to cherish it with pride and responsibility. When Congress signed off on the Declaration of Independence in 1776, John Adams in Philadelphia for the convention wrote home to his wife Abigail, sharing how he believed the annual celebration should go from that point forward. Fireworks, yes, but first things first. The nation's freedom anniversary should first be, quote, commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty, unquote. Only did Adams move on to say, quote, it ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shoes, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of the continent to the other, from this time forever and forevermore, unquote. He had a wise sense of priorities. Thank God for freedom, so we celebrate, but then prepare for the hard work of maintaining it. Quote, you think me transported with enthusiasm, Adams continued, but I am not. I am well aware of the toil and blood and the treasure that it will cost us to maintain this declaration and to support and defend these states. Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory. I can see the end is more than worth of all the means. We should rue it, which I trust in God we shall not, unquote. Freedom isn't free. As he wrote home, Adams' beloved America was embarking on a painful, bloody crusade that would take years long and thousands of lives. Our own freedom in Christ wasn't free either. Jesus paid a terrible price for it, and we've been grateful for it. We can celebrate it with joy, but above and foremost, we must never forfeit or nor take our freedom in Christ for granted. The Apostle Paul saw how easy it is to lose this freedom. Christ has set us free, he affirmed in Galatians 5:1. But then a strong warning. So stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he's chosen for his own inheritance. Happy birthday, America, Georgie and Banoff. I saw an interesting article on Facebook. I don't spend a whole lot of time on Facebook, and I'm not going to say who, but there was a Christian leader who has a leadership blog that was posting a picture of another leader that was at a crusade leading thousands to the Lord, has been going around the nation, Sean Foyt, doing these different We Shall Worship, where thousands and thousands of people have come to know the Lord and baptized, especially in the darkest cities, the most violent cities that we've seen going on. And the title of the argument or the article was, is there a too much of a mixing, so to say, of patriotism and the gospel? And the answer to that is there can be. We can absolutely make the United States and our government, constitution, an idol if we actually esteem that first above anything else. But that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to steward it. On the flip side, there's those that say, well, the best time has passed, and so we just need to let happen what needs to happen in this nation. The sign of turmoil and trouble is just the sign of Jesus coming back. It's extreme and actually very foolish. We are actually given freedom for a purpose, And I'm proud to be an American, but let me tell you what, my heart doesn't burn for America because I live here with a perverted sense of nationalism or pride in being an American. I'm proud to be an American because the fact that I've actually was born here with an assignment from heaven. That when we're given a gift, no matter what nation you're born in, it's actually a gift. It's an assignment from God. He says, before I knew you, before I knit you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew the days of your life. I knew what the trials you were going to go through. I knew the plans that I have for you. It was always to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope in the future. That's true of every single person that's ever been born. The Lord has a purpose and a plan, and the days of their life were laid out in his book. But it's up to each individual to step into that destiny. It's up to each individual to steward the freedom that you've been handed. His government is cracking down on an unprecedented level. Actually, there's not unprecedented. They did it all the way from the beginning of the first early church. But they're cracking down on the church, telling them what they can believe and what they can't do. We have a friend, I'm not going to tell you who he is, that has gone into the country. And they have to really sneak around to be able to preach the gospel, because the moment the Holy Spirit begins to move in the way that you guys experienced freely earlier, the communists come rushing in. They're fine with religious dogma being taught. They're fine with religious people gathering. But the moment there's a sign of life, they come and they come to squelch it, because they know that's the only thing. You know why? Because this is not about a political agenda. This is actually a governmental issue. It's about the government of heaven, as it is in heaven. There's one king. There's one righteous ruler. It's God Almighty. He has a purpose and plan for every nation and every piece of dirt. It's something interesting. It doesn't really mean or matter. He tells Joshua, everywhere you step foot's the territory I'm giving you. So be strong and courageous. You're going to take the promised land. The Jews had a promised land to them. But let me say this. That's not the only promised land. When you were born in America, you were born in your promised land. You were born with a responsibility, especially when you were born again, to bring as it is in heaven here on the earth. You were assigned to a people. The very people you live around in your neighborhoods, the very people you go to work with, the very people that you go to the grocery store, the very people that you float the Comal or the Guadalupe with. Those are your people. That's your assignment. It's not about a nation. It's about a people that would be transformed. See, just like we say, it's not about a church building, but about the church, a people called together for a common purpose in Christ Jesus. So we are called to be able to steward this freedom that we've been given. And I'm telling you right now, it's time to rise to the occasion. I'll be really transparent with you. I'd be content. I'm a forced extrovert. I would be really content with just minding my business, loving people, having fun here. I'll go preach the gospel, but I'd be fine just going home, hanging out with my family, reading a book, and never getting into the fire. But can I be honest with you? I don't have that option. We don't have an option. We can't have a self-fulfilling prophecy that says that this place, this whole world, forget America, how about every nation on the planet is going to hell in a handbasket by ideologies that are actually straight from the pit of hell, that are sent to counterfeit the government of God. Why do you think he's attacking the definition of gender? Because God says, let there be male and female. If he can pervert that, he can actually pervert God. He's going after the next generation with a veracity because he wants to turn them. Hitler understood, if you can turn the youth, you can turn the next generation. It's demonic. It's not about a political agenda. It's about bringing the government of heaven. What's included in the government of heaven? Amen. That should be a sign of the word I'm giving you right now. It's exploding in the atmosphere as we speak. What comes with the government of heaven? What is the culture of heaven? How do families look? What does male and female look like? What does love look like? What does kindness look like? What does mercy look like? What governs the way that society is run in heaven? This is what we're talking about. It's a fight for every area, every segment of society, the control of the mind, the will, and the emotions of a people to actually go after an antichrist spirit. Now, I don't want to get into a theological debate with anybody in this room right now, but we're so worried about looking for an antichrist, not realizing our battles are not against flesh and blood, but actually against a spirit. There may be many antichrists that rise up. But it's a spirit that matters. It's kind of solemn in this room, and it should be, because just like that man told me as we were walking around the plaza, and he says, look like you're holding up the funeral pyre of this nation. He said, you're a fool. Because only a fool would say it's dead before it's dead. Giving up is not an option. Allowing an antichrist spirit to tell our kids who they are is not an option. Allowing an antichrist spirit to tell the church whether she can worship or not is not an option. Allowing an antichrist system to say, this is how economics works, is not an option. God doesn't operate according to the systems of man. He operates with his own economic system. There's been a shaking in this last year. I think I've shared it in the last 18 months. When we went into last year, and the Lord told me very specifically, this is the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Why? So that the unshakable kingdom that we inherit through Jesus Christ can be established in the earth. Because it's the only thing that's not shaken. I shared this word a while back. The Lord said, I was wearing a tuxedo at an event, and the Lord says, I want you to be shaken, not stirred. Or stirred, not shaken. I'm sorry. Stirred, not shaken. James Bond liked his martinis dry and shaken and not stirred. But the Lord said this, no, I never made you to be shaken. I made you to be stirred by the passions of my heart. I made you to be stirred by the brilliance of my mind. I made you to be stirred by when you see darkness in the world, you run into it and say, I've got a solution because I am the light of the world. I'll just publicly say it. I love my neighbors, but I have not done the best of reaching my neighbors. And I just want to publicly repent. Because they need to know him. I can't stand up here and tell you to go if I'm not willing to go. I'm a saint just like you guys are for the work of ministry. But I'm just telling you right now, what if we were the solution to the nation's problems right now? The mind of Christ, the brilliance. And I was going through and I was kind of stirred up at this message. And I was like, Lord, where do you want to go with this thing? And I began to look at what happened when Israel was taken to the captivity in Babylon. And I was reading through Jeremiah. And the Lord kind of gives Jeremiah this word saying, it's going to take 70 years. There's something I'm doing in this place. And he gives them this word. And then how many times coming out of Egypt, and there's these different places where Israel was taken into captivity and then released. And I was like, man, is a solution in there? And the Lord goes, no, you're looking at it from the wrong end of the equation. You're actually in the New Testament. I've already rescued you from Egypt. I've already rescued you from Babylon through the blood of my son. The problem is when the church starts to think like they're still in Babylon. We begin to look at America. We begin to look at the world systems as if that's Nebuchadnezzar, and we can't actually stand up against Nebuchadnezzar. Instead of being a Daniel that would actually prophesy the good things to him, to be able to interpret his dreams that would actually turn his heart. And the Lord began to say, what if? How many times when my people, Israel, were meant to be blessed? And they were blessed and they prospered, but their hearts began to turn away from me. And the natural consequences of turning away from seeking his kingdom first is that you begin to have things that are added that are not his kingdom. And so they were taken into captivity because they gave their hearts to captivity. It says the solution is this. America is not in Babylon. It is not Babylon and it's not in Babylon. We're actually at this place, this precipice, where the Lord is sending the Jeremiah. Do you know that the book of Jeremiah was written before they were taken into captivity? What if they had listened? I ask you this question. He sends Jonah to go and preach in Nineveh. Turn, or the Lord is not going to be happy with you. That was actually a turn or burn message from an old covenant perspective. But then the king of the city listens to the word of the Lord, and he repents, and he calls the nation to a level of repentance where the whole nation turns to God. And God says, I'm not going to release the fire now because their hearts are for me. And Jonah got hacked off. What are you doing? Are you lying to me? No, their hearts turned to me. What if Israel had listened to the words of Jeremiah and their hearts collectively said, we've turned from the Lord, but we're turning back to him. The whole nation would have been saved. In the moment, I'm telling you right now, the moment that Nebuchadnezzar came on their doorsteps, Israel would have destroyed Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah. Do you hear what I'm saying? Babylon never would have had a place to take them captive. Because they were supposed to be a people in covenant with God where the armies of the world feared them because they feared him. And I'm just saying, what if in America, I remember Jack Taylor, I don't know how many years ago, it was probably about 10 years ago, our good friend Bill Vanderbush was speaking at a conference. Jack Taylor was there, and he's like, Jack Taylor, I thought he was dead. So he tells Jack, hey, I really honestly thought you were dead. And Jack goes, rumors of my demise were greatly exaggerated. Of the demise of this world are greatly exaggerated? Because the enemy wants you to partner with fear. Instead of partnering with the redemptive design of the blood of the Son. If Joshua, I know I'm going a little bit longer, but we're gonna nail this sucker. If Joshua in an inferior covenant, Old Testament, had the ability of everywhere he stepped his foot was a territory that God would give him, how much more as you as a born-again believer have greater authority than Joshua did? Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm just telling you right now, it's stirred in my heart and I've been wrestling this for a while. A few years ago, began to read about the Black Robe Regiment and how during the American Revolution, it was from the pulpits, the kingdom message was preached, and it actually got into the hearts of the leaders to stand up for freedom and liberty because they realized, establish the kingdom of God on the earth as it is in heaven. But the story has been told so often that they were just fleeing religious persecution from Europe. And part of that's true, but it's not about what we turn from, it's what we turn into, what we become. What if New Braunfels became the most free city in the world? Because the sons and daughters of God realize who they are. The bride of Christ, suddenly, those grave clothes are just being wrapped off. What's been binding you up, suddenly you're like, man, I'm free. We were singing that extravagant song over and over again. I just kept hearing the Lord say, I'm unbinding you. I'm undone by your love, God. I'm undone by his love. Everything that had hold on me that was not his love has now been undone so that all I experience is the love of God. We need a generation that's going to stand up right now. You two specifically carry something powerful in your generation. You guys, not just because you're my kids, y'all carry something powerful in this generation. My seasoned people, seasoned citizens, you're not retired. You carry something powerful. It's time to get out of the retirement house and start fathering a generation. Do you hear what I'm saying? I believe this is the shot that will be heard around the world. I believe the Lord is speaking to the heart of his children to say, it's a time to arise and shine. And we've preached that. I've preached that. I don't know how many times in this place, but it feels different right now. There's a sense of urgency right now. I said yes to a friend to walk with that flag yesterday, and it was a great honor, but the Lord just began to talk to me about this. It says, it's time to step into your inheritance of this city. I'm just going to tell you, this is not to brag on me. I just want you to understand how deeply I'm wanting to press into my words specifically so I can pass it on to a generation. Our family had three signers at the founding of the charter of this city. I could have planted a church in Bull Verde. That's where I live. That's where they offered it to me. And the Lord said, clearly no. If I would have taken it, he still would have blessed it. But it would have been picking up another man's inheritance. I'm just telling you right now, standing into a seat of government in this city as a father of this house, I'm going to say it, and a father in this region, it's a time for you to rise and shine. It's time to put dead things away. What was that verse? What did I read during worship? Proverbs. No, it was during worship. It says, don't fall short of the grace that's been given to you. God's given you a grace. You're part of this family for a reason. Because you're called to be a generation changing transformation of this nation. It will be done in my time. And if it's not, I've passed on an inheritance to my children and my grandchildren. But I'm telling you right now, I just feel like this in my bones. It may sound like this is about me. It's not. I'm just telling you, I'm taking ownership of this place. Who's with me? I thought so. I thought I was in the right family. Why don't you stand up with me? Bob, will you come up here with me? This is my good friend, Bob Long. He's a father in this region, has been for a long time. But I feel like you're supposed to release a level of impartation over this house because we honor you as a father in this region. And I feel like you're going to release a Abrahamic level. Not, you don't have to do that one per se, but an Abrahamic level blessing upon what God's doing in this place because I honor you and I love you.
Father, thank you that you are turning the hearts of the sons to the fathers and the fathers to the sons, and all across America, that there is an internal flame that is springing up, that's turning the hearts of sons when they don't look like sons. And there are fathers coming forth that have been obscure. And Lord, I thank you that in New Braunfels, in this place, in this house, in this ministry, and in Jay and Kelly, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the Father's mantle that is growing upon from the inside in Jay and Kelly. That the Father's heart, the apostolic anointing to raise up leaders, to raise up the called ones. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come along beside this house. I come along beside this man and this woman in the name of Jesus. And I say that, Lord God, thank you that it can't be stopped. Thank you that it's enlarging. Thank you that there's a grace that comes that's equal to the call. And Lord, I thank you that the call, Lord, you're going to begin to show Jay and Kelly things that they've not seen. The dots are going to connect, Jay. There's lots that you're so stirred about so many things. I was going to tell you this in private. I won't tell you in public. You are so stirred about so many things. And there's parts of, and they're all right. And I relate to that personally, but And it's, but that's an apostolic thing. And it's like, I burn for this over here, but wait a minute, this over here, I burn for that. And sometimes they don't look like they connect. And you have to just walk into that to be able to know what comes when. But I'm telling you, there is an ability by the grace of God coming, and God will show you which ones come first, which ones come first, which arenas come first, and you just have to kind of deal with the fact that some other things are burning, but they're on the second burner instead of the first. And I say the grace of God, that kind of apostolic grace, Lord, I've seen it so many times, and I've been so blessed to see it in so many fathers. In the decades and decades and decades ago that I saw it in them, and Lord, several of them put it in me, and Lord God, whatever I have, I give it to this man in Jesus' name. Lord, for whatever that's worth in Jesus' name, but I say that this house and this mantle, Lord God, in Jesus' name, multifaceted anointings that enable and empower those to come forth that fulfill multifaceted ministries and expressions of their own, and that this becomes a house of leaders. This becomes a place where people are coming in to be raised up and to be released out. Lord, in Jesus' name, you know all those things. And Lord God, in Jesus' name, I just thank you. I just thank you for your grace. And Lord, I say there's provision spiritually, financially, Lord God, personnel, Lord, in every way, in Jesus' name. A wineskin that's raising up, reproducing, releasing in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for this region. I thank you for this region. I thank you for the brothers and sisters and the other fivefold leaders all across this region, all across the corridor. Lord, I thank you for them. But Lord, I thank you here and now today. God, I just thank you that there's a line in the sand that's being drawn today. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for those of us in this place, at this time, in this season, and even in this region that are stepping across that line to take a hold of the call and the commission that's upon not only this house but others like it. Yes. In Jesus' name. Yes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that you didn't lie. That Jesus didn't lie when he said, I'm building a church in the earth and the government of hell won't be able to prevail against it. I thank you that the Great Commission shall be fulfilled before the return of the Lord, and that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like it covers the sea through the ecclesia and the expanding kingdom that is never stopping in its increase. And Lord, we say today in Jesus' name that Lord God, you are worthy.
Yes, yes.
And we thank you today, Lord.
And all God's people said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.